First of all, good morning, everyone, again. Hope everyone had their coffee. Let me just open that up. So, as everyone knows, today the sermon is going through the book of Colossians, chapter 3, as we are doing the series. And I remember last time I was doing a sermon over here, standing on this podium. It was Ephesians chapter 5. And they are pretty similar chapter, right? And maybe if we go through the sermon, you're going to see the second portion of chapter 3. Paul is talking about a Christian home. I know maybe God is wanted to prepare me for something, because chapter 5 of Ephesians was the similar one. Even though I'm not married, I'm going to talk about the married things. But hopefully everything will go according to the will of God. So in the Colossians 3, we can see that the structure of the whole book, Colossians 3 or the Colossians, it's similar to the book of Ephesians, even though the theme is completely different. Okay. So it's okay. So even the theme is completely different, because in the book of Ephesians, Paul is talking about a mystery, and he's talking to a completely different assembly which he visited in the past. But Colossians, it's a completely different story, because he never visited the assembly of Colossia. Sorry, the pronunciation is going to be a little bit off, because in Hindi, Colossians is Colossios, and Ephesians is Ephesion. So maybe sometime those words are going to slip in, but I will try my best to say in English, not in Hindi. So the structure is same. Before the ending of the epistle, Paul is talking about the things which we should do and which we should practice in our life, and also some instructions as well. So in Colossians 3, I'm going to divide this book, even the Bible did that as well. So we're going to divide that in three different sections. The first is not carnality but Christ. Second one is character of the new man. And the third one is the Christian home. So for the first section, the third section actually goes to the chapter 4 as well, verse 1. So we're going to just touch the chapter 4 as well, just the first one. Now, 3, as it is written in the book of Colossians, it is, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is adultery. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythians, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. So that's the first section we're going to cover first, and then the second and the third. So when the Colossians in the Paul, when started the Colossians, the first verse says, if then. But we need to remember that this if is not a doubt he's talking about. It's the condition. Because as we go in this chapter, we're going to see that he's talking about is the condition that then you were raised with Christ, which means Paul is referring this chapter to the believers. If you are believers, option, then these are the things you should practice in your life. So that's why it is written, If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now the question is, what are the things those are above? There are so many things which we can cover underneath just this verse. But there are three major things which I want to cover, and those are, first is righteousness. Righteousness is the right relationship with someone, or being right in the sight of God, right? That's the righteousness. Another one, which are the things those are above, is joy of the Lord. It's not present in the Lord. And the third one, which is more important, and Paul also covered in this chapter, is the peace. And I remember there was a sermon a couple of months ago. I talked about the peace. So peace, over here, it's shalom, which means is the fulfillment of everything. It's not the absence of chaos, but the fulfillment of everything. Even we are going through a difficult time. So that's the peace which Paul is asking us. That seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, and at the right hand of God. So these are the things we're going to focus on. And the next is, second verse, he says again, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Right. Let me go through one verse. It's Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. So it is written in that verse, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself. So Bible actually focus on denying ourselves, dying the old man, and then seek the things those are above. So that's why. But there is one condition. From our own will, we always got addicted to the worldly things. And it's near to impossible for us from our own will without getting to know about the law, without getting to know about the Holy Spirit or even Jesus Christ, we will automatically turn our heads, hey, this is wrong what we were doing, because we were not aware that all the things we were doing was wrong. Because covenant made us realize, okay, everything which we did was wrong. So that's why it's kind of impossible for us to deny ourselves, deny our old man, our old creation, or as it is written in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself. So God is focusing us to seek the things those are above, which is peace, joy of the Lord, and righteousness. Doing all the things which is right in front of God. And the third verse, it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is a really important verse of this chapter. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Even though most of the New Testament always say that go to the world, preach about the gospel. And over here it is written, hidden with Christ in God. Why Paul is saying that? So there is a secret that when we turn into God or when we become believers, there is one thing which the world is not able to understand, that why we are doing those things, why we are righteous, why we are considering all the things they are doing is bad in our sight, why there is always a voice in the back of our head that, oh, this thing is wrong. This is not according to the will of the God. They are not able to understand it. What is happening? Even though they try to see us, even though Lord is saying, okay, go to the world, preach my gospel, be my epistles, be my gospel, try to be an open book so everyone can read. But still, the world is not able to read us. That's why it is written in the verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Because they were not able to understand our Christ, our God as well. Because if we go in book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it is written, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He died for me. But the main secret is, it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. God don't know what we are going to be, what we are seeking for. Because we know that there's a second coming. The Lord is coming again, but the world is not aware of that. And they are going to death. to the death, and they are already on the path of death. So that's why it is written in the verse 3, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God," because they were not able to understand our Lord, and they are not able to understand our life if we are living according to the will of God. They will try to, but it's a secret. It's the secret of a spiritual life. If we are believers, if we are focusing on the things, those are above. And the next is, when we go to verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness." So now, we know the Lord is coming, but Paul over here, he's focusing that put to death your member which are on the earth. There are different verses in this section of the chapter. Only once he is saying that put to death. Other time he is saying put off. So put to death means just, there's really a good word in book of King James version of this. It's mortify. Like bury those things. Never ever remember those things. Even if we go in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says that don't even mention about those things. So what are those things? First is fornication. Fornication, unlawful relationship, which is against the laws, according to the Bible. Not according to the law we do have in all countries, but according to the will of God, which is unlawful relationship. It can be within men and men, women and women. So there is a really good example in Matthew chapter 15, if we can go to that. Verse 19 and 20. It says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man." So these are the things which come from our inside, not from outside. So that's why he says, "Therefore put to death your member which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness." Uncleanness is just the impurities of thoughts, what we are thinking. And next is passion. Passion is a really common word which is used in our day-to-day life sometime, that he's really passionate about something, he's really passionate about something. But over here, Bible is talking about another passion, which is strong lust or barely controllable desire, but for sin. That's the passion which Paul is talking about over here. And another one is evil desire. It's similar to violent craving. Like you want to harm something, you want to harm someone. That kind of desire is an evil desire. And covetousness, which is greediness or the desire to have more. But Paul over here says covetousness, which is adultery. Why he's mentioning it, which is adultery as well? Adultery is a really big word. If we go in the covenants, Ten Commandments as well, the adultery is mentioned over there as well, right? So adultery, it's an unholy desire to satisfy sexual desires or appetite. But adultery is giving priority to something else which is not God. So it can be any of your hobbies. It can be any of your addiction with anything which is more for you than the God itself. So you're focusing, okay, I can skip the church, but I have other things to do. It's adultery. Because you are giving something else more priority than our God. You're bowing. So you are bowing in front of another person, which is not God, which is completely wrong in front of God. So that's why Paul is mentioning over here, which is adultery. Which is covetousness is adultery as well. And next, there's example in book of Ephesians, if we want to explore more. Let's go to book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 5 as well. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 5, it is written, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." He have nothing to do with God. If we are doing, that's why Paul over here is saying, therefore put to death your members which are on earth. Because if you are becoming believer, if you are accepting God as your savior, you have to put these things to death. It's not like putting anything off. The clothes, you had those, but you can put those off and you can pick a new one. But for these one, it's put to death, bury them underneath the earth and never remember those things. That's how you can come to the Lord, our Savior. And the next verse, 6. "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them." So that's how Paul is explaining the whole situation. These are the things which we have to put to death. And just because of these things, the wrath of God can come to us. And there's a really good example in the book of Romans, if you want to go with that. What comes when the wrath of God comes upon us? Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and 26, 27 and 28. So Romans chapter 1, verse 24. "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves." And verse 26. "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the plenty of their error which was due." And 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to those things which are not fitting." That's what God do in their wrath, in his wrath. He let the evil come unto us. But remember, there are two types of wrath which Paul is talking about over here. One is wrath of God, and on the very next verse, he's saying, "But now you yourself are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." The wrath of the God is to correct us from sin to bring us over to the holy life. But the wrath of ourselves, which we always go to the sin, we are not going against the sin. The wrath of God is to correct us. The wrath of us is to always go toward the sin. So that's the difference. That's why Paul is saying we have to put off the wrath. We have to put off the anger. But God's wrath can come up unto us or upon us if we are doing all these things, or we are not putting the old man to the death. So that's why in verse 8 and 9, it is written, "But now you yourself are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." So as we saw in the book of Romans, it was saying, okay, in the wrath, what can happen to us? The Lord will let everything happen to us, what we did in the past. But now, we accepted Christ as our Savior. We put that old man to death. And now, as a believer, but there are still some things which we have to put off. There's a really good example in Old Testament. You can see that David, he was a believer. He was a good person in front of God, but still he didn't committed a sin. So he have to put off that sin so that he can come to the grace of God again. His old personality before he knew God was died, but still as a believer he had something which he have to put off. As we are living right now as a believers, or those who have accepted the Lord, still there might be something which we have to put off. It might be anger, it might be wrath, blasphemy, filthy language, anything. We are following God, we know who is our Savior, who we believed, but still there are some things. And anger if we want to explain that, it is a strong spirit of dislike. And malaise, it's like a bad conduct toward another with the idea of harming person. So looking for an occasion when we can harm another person. Okay, he did something wrong to me. I'm not going to do something wrong right now. But whenever the time will come, I'm going to do something wrong. That's a malice, or I'm maybe doing the pronunciation wrong. Blasphemy. It's a use of intemperate language against another. Filthy language, shameful speaking, impure language, and lie to one another, generally called as integrity and truthfulness. So do we have truthfulness in our assemblies, in between the believers? Because remember, Paul is talking about all the believers over here. If, that's why there was an if in the beginning of this chapter. Because now we are not the old man, because we put already all these things to death in verse 5. Let's go to one more verse, one more reference. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It is written, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we are already a new creation. We are already a new man. Why we have still these things in our life? So we have to put all these things to death. And some of the things which we still have after accepting Lord as our Savior, we have to put those off. Change the whole cloth. Put off all your night dresses and put on your formals, right? That's what Paul is trying to say. And the next is, in the verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And that's really simple wording over here in these words, but those are really strong words as well. So now we have removed that. I remember over here, there was one sermon when we had a wine in a bottle. It was, I forgot the name. I'm really bad with names. Cliff. Yeah, Cliff. So he was doing the sermon, and he was talking about, Jesus turned water into wine. It's a complete transformation. There's no going back. So now, we were old men, we put that to the death, and now we are new creation. There is no going back. So we have to put off all these new sins, which we still have. And it is written, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. Now, image of him. Today morning, Brad was speaking from Romans 8. I do have that in my reference as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. And there it is written, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we were the old creation. We were not walking according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's a really vast explanation of the things which are written over here in just one verse. Right? So that's why, even though we are still in the body, we are new creation in a spiritual manner. And now, if we go in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Oh man, Paul is talking about racism. He is neglecting everything. He is saying that there is no old man, there is everything new, and in churches, remember he is talking to believers. And he is saying there is no one who is Greek nor Jew. Nationalities. There's no difference between the nationalities. And there's no difference between the religions. Because he's talking about circumcised nor uncircumcised. Jews and Gentiles. Right? And then against barbarian, Scythian. Culture. There's no difference in between culture. And also slave nor free. It's a social level. At what level you are in social life. He's talking about in churches, there should be nothing similar to this. It's the things of the world, but as we put off the old man, as we put the old man to the death, now we have to remove all these things from the church as well. And he's talking to the assembly as well. That's why he's saying, if then you were raised with Christ, if you are a believer, in simple words. And the last verse, over here it says, but Christ is all and in all. Now, there's a small question. Are we giving Christ the place which he was intended to take in our life? So that's what Paul is saying over here. That Christ is all and in all. Because God gave his only begotten son to us so that he can be everything in everything in our life. So that was the first section. Now let's move to the second section because the time is running fast. Okay, next is character of the new man. So now we are new creation. We put off the old man, which were doing all the sins, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is adultery, everything, angry, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. So we already put off all these things and now we are moving toward, okay, now Paul is saying what we should not do, and now another one, what we should do. So character of the new man. So now, verse 12, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do in all the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's the second section. So he's talking about a new creation. So basically Paul wants to say over here, be like Jesus. Whatever he do, be like Jesus. And that's why he's talking about, in verse 12 and 13, he's talking about kindness, which is unselfish spirit of doing for another. Talking about believers and unbelievers as well. Doing things for another which are in need. And another one is humility. It's absence of pride. I am superior to another. I am in this assembly from this many years. He's just a new guy. No. Paul is saying no. No to Galatians. Another one is meekness. It's absence of passion. The passion for wrong things. Or strength to deny oneself and walk in grace. Because our Lord Jesus Christ did the same. He was the creator of the world. He was all in all. But still, he came to earth. He died for us. And another one is long-suffering, which our Jesus gave the really good example by suffering for us on cross. So that's what Paul is focusing on. And another one is just follow the example of the Lord our Savior. That's what Paul is trying to say in the verse 12 and 13. Because he did what is right. That's why it is written in 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. He forgave all our sins. He helped us to put that old man to the death and put off all those sinful clothes as well. And now we have to do the same as well. We have to forgive one another. And now, when we move forward with verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, Paul already draw a map of all the things, all the nations. These are the states, these are the provinces, everything, these are the roads. And now, he have to create a border above around everything. And that is love. That's why he's saying in 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Just observe the change in the tune over here in Paul writing. Because previously Paul was focusing on, do this, put this off, put this to the death. And now, after doing all this, getting the kindness, after observing the humility, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, he's saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. So let this happen to you. When you started to follow Christ, and when you started to observe all these things, doing all the practices, kindness, love, humility, meekness, long-suffering, living in assembly, and after that, these things are going to happen to you, so let that happen. That's what he's saying in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in your word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How wonderful these verses are. Then, do this, he provided the all list, everything, checklist. Check this, check this, check this. And the next one is, okay, now if you already checked all the boxes, these things are going to happen to you. And let this happen. Don't deny. Because initially in the verse 1, it was optional. And now, it's option again that let this happen to you. Don't deny this one. So that's why he's focusing on love, peace. Let's go to Book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 7. It's a really beautiful verse about peace. And it is written in this Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because that peace, which comes with all these blessings, is beyond our understanding. We are not able to understand it until we see our Lord coming. Until we see the second coming. Because when we are going to live with him, in the nation which he created, in the kingdom which he created, then we will understand. Then we might understand the peace. And that's why he's saying, let this happen to you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Do nothing, let it rule. Let all the hymns come to you. Let all the psalms. There might be a chances when the music is really good in a church. The hymns are really amazing. Every action song is the kids are doing. Everything is really good. But if the Holy Spirit is not working in there, that makes no sense. So that's why Paul is saying, let this happen to you. Let the psalms, let the hymns come to you. Not to impress anyone else, or not to impress other person, hey, how good I sing, but let this happen. Even if you if your voice is not in a tune, let this happen. Because that let actually show the zeal to worship the Lord. That how much zealous you are to worship your Lord, even though you have no voice, even though you don't know how to play an instrument in a church. But still, if you are praising your Lord, your Creator, the one who created everything, the one who had idea about you before the creation of the world, he will be pleased. So that's why he's saying that in the verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because he is the carrier. He can take our blessings to the God. That's why he came to us. And that was the character of the new man. Kindness, love, peace, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. But everything is in Christ. Because remember, in the first section, when we ended there, it was Christ is all in all. And in this ending of second section, it is God the Father through him. Still, the Christ is the focus. And the third section now, the Christian home. And it's talking about a really simple message, but a really strong as well. Now, the Christian home, we're going to read from chapter 3, verse 18, till chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit to your own husband, as is fitting in the Lord. Husband, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Father, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye servicing, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to the men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So that's amen. Now, verse 1. Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. Oh, this is going to create some noise in the world, right? Because this can might offend some people in the world. But remember, Paul over here is talking to the believers. And he's asking wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. So he's saying, submitting to the husband who is believer, which is also practicing all the love, meekness, long-suffering in the above section, that's whom you have to submit. Because he is also a new creation, and you are also a new creation. That's why he's asking, why submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord? And he mentioned about own as well. And for husband, he's mentioned about, husband, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Remember, now it's a new creation. They both believe in Lord. They both are saved. And if we want to get a really good example, let's go to Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, 25. To understand love. It is written in Ephesians chapter 5, 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, there is nothing wrong in loving that kind of husband who also is willing to give his life as our Christ gave his life for us. Because that husband or that wife is already following all the things. He or she do have the peace. He, she do have the love. He or she do have the mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. He or she can understand, okay, if the another person is going through a difficult time, then it's my duty to stand beside another one. Then there is nothing wrong in this one. And another one, to the next verse, if we go, just the 5 minutes, okay. I will try my best to finish. Maybe I'm right on time. So next is, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now again, remember, these verses are for the believer. For the kids, those are brought up in a home where they are under the discipline from their birth. And if we are under a discipline, there will be no any friction in between the parents and the kids that if they're putting on the discipline. For example, if the parents are not doing the right things and asking or expecting their kids to do the right things. For example, if a parents, they don't go to the church, but they are asking their kids to go to the church, they will be, no, why should we go to the church? Even if you guys are not going to the church. So if there is a discipline in that house, then there will be no friction in between the kids and the parents, because they are already know that that discipline is already there. And that's why Paul is asking, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Your Christian parents, your righteous parents, those who believed in the God. And he's asking just the fathers, not the mothers. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Why Paul is asking just the fathers? Because if we see in a normal household, you're going to see that mother always give all the things to the kids. Hey, okay, if he's crying, give this. Or, I don't know a word in English how to describe that, but I know in a Hindi or in Punjabi that usually mother pamper their kids, right? Pamper is the right word. Okay. So mother usually pamper their kids a lot, but father, on the other hand, usually sometimes is strict. Or over here, Paul is saying, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Or the father is not encouraging their kids if they are doing the right things as well. That is also provoking. So, hey, Paul is asking to wives, submit to your own husband, which is believer. Husband, loves your wife, which is believer as well. And children, obey your parents, those are righteous parents. And fathers, do not provoke your children, because those children are believers as well. They are brought up and growing up in a Christian home where they know what the Lord wants from their life. And they will never be against any discipline which is according to the word. And that's what Paul is trying to say over here. And that's the explanation of Christian home. And the last is, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Master, give your bond servant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now there's a question that I know it's a really tough topic, but masters and servants or slaves were the past things. Those are not present right now. But still, Paul is talking to Colossians, right? But these verses are still that much as much valid as those were in the back time. Why? Because we are servant to the masters, or we are servant where we are working. We are servant in the assembly as well. We are servant in our jobs. We are servant in the places we volunteer. We do have managers. Those are our masters. And our biggest master is the one who lives in the heaven. And that's why Paul is asking all the servants, which can be us, or we can be masters as well. We can be manager of some people as well. We should behave according to the Bible. We should do all the things which are right in front of God. We have to ask ourselves, okay, if we are at our job, are we doing just to, there's a one term, which we refer, it's kind of a joke. It's like a tube light. It only turns on when the manager is there. So if you are working just when the manager is watching you, then it's a wrong thing. You're not working according to the will of the God, not according to the words those are written over here. He's saying, hey, bond servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart-fearing God. Even though no one is watching you, you have to do the right things. Even though you are the only one in the company working, but still you have to consider that, okay, the Lord is watching you. Are you doing all the works you are supposed to do? And if you are doing a hard work, if you are not just doing all the work to please your masters or please your managers, then there will be a reward from the Lord. So these verses are as much valid as they were in the past time. And in the last, he was saying, masters, give your bondservant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So for example, somebody come to you, hey, a kid usually come to you, I can plow your front yard, I can mow the grass. Are you giving him the actual payment he was supposed to receive? So these are the simple words which Paul is focusing over here. He is talking about a simple life, day-to-day life. Are we believers in our day-to-day life? Are we already put that man to death which were in the past? And now we are believer. Do we still have the dirty clothes on? Those anger, wrath, malice, or that those sinful things which are not according to the will of God. Are we still have those clothes on? Or we are just clean from the inside? We are taking a bath every day, but still we are putting the old clothes on. So that's the question Paul is asking over here in the chapter 3. And there are some questions, and after asking those questions, I'm going to just close the meeting. So there's one question we have to remember. How much we have put our old self to death? How much of that old man we have put to death? How much we have buried it? Or the hands are still outside the earth or not? Or the legs are still outside the earth or not? Or did we put the whole thing underneath the earth that we are not able to see anything? Or we put a gravestone on that old man and we always visit that gravestone like every day? Or maybe weekend, or maybe monthly basis, or maybe yearly basis? Hey, once in a year, this thing I can do. It's a gravestone and we are visiting that old man. And another one is how much we have put off the sinful nature after accepting the God. And the third question is how much we have put on the new man for which our Savior died. How much we have the new clothes on. Not the shiny one, but the actual spiritual clothes. And the last question is how much place we have given to the Jesus Christ who are supposed to be all and in all for us according to the will of God.
Let's close our meeting. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for this worship and this fellowship, Lord. We are thankful for this opportunity so we can come together and hear your word. Lord, we pray that as we heard this word, as we sung this song, Lord, it continue to change our minds, our hearts, and guide our actions. Oh Lord, as we leave this place today, may we carry your love, your light with us, and we reflect your grace in all that we do. Oh Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us, on our family, and on our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.